Morning, honourable members, deputy minister from Home Affairs, officials from different departments. I think we should start with our meeting. Let me officially declare the meeting open. And maybe because we are starting, this is our first meeting in this year, 2018. If you could start by observing a moment of silent prayers and meditation to ask the Almighty to be with us throughout the year. Can we? Thank you. Let me welcome you again and also thank you for honoring the invitation. I think this is one of the most important meetings in terms of the BMA, towards the approval of the BMA. We received, just to remind ourselves where we are, we received a pre-briefing from Department of Home Affairs and an official briefing of the bill after it was referred to us. But as a committee, we felt that it is important to hear from other main stakeholders who will be participating on the bill, such as Department of Finance, Defense, as well as police. Very important, because even if we can have that structure, but you will still perform your unique role. So we thought it is important that we know what you will be doing, because when we deal with these borders, we must be convinced that we are really dealing with them. But before we proceed, I think it will be important that we introduce ourselves. You'll pardon my voice, I've got a flu. We should start by introducing ourselves, because I think it's the first time we meet in this nature. My name is Kathy Dlamini, the chairperson of the committee, Social Services, which consists of five departments: Department of Home Affairs, Social Development, Water and Sanitation, Department of Health, and Department of Human Settlement. I am representing the beautiful province, Mpumalanga. That is where I'm coming from. I will move to this direction. Honorable Zwane.
Thank you. I'm Honorable Zwane, Lynette or Lungelwa or Mama Zwane, whichever you like. I serve in this committee of social services in addition to education and recreation. I represent the mighty province of KwaZulu-Natal. Thank you.
Molweni, igama lami nguphindwe kaSamka omele iphondo leMpuma Koloni ngikwalelungu lale committee. Inkosi.
Molweni, igama lami nguThandi Mphambo Tsibukwana, ndimele iphondo leWestern Cape Ntshona Koloni, ndililungu lale committee.
Thanks, Chair. Good morning. My name is Ntomuhle Kaula, a member of the NCOP representing the Kingdom of KwaZulu.
Goeiemôre, good morning. Ek is Chris Harting, Northwest Province.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Mkululu Moro. I'm your representative for the committee.
Good morning, my name is Jeannie LaRue and I'm a researcher for the committee.
Good morning, I'm Tabula Keche, the content advisor for the committee.
Good morning, I'm Suan Isaac, parliamentary legal advisor.
Good morning, I'm Zukisa France, the committee assistant of the committee. Thank you.
Good morning, I'm Yolandi van Asvegen from the office of the chief state law advisor.
Good morning, I'm Moses Malakate from Department of Home Affairs.
Good morning, I'm Brigadier Songwane from SAPS. Thank you. Good morning, Honorable Chair and members. I'm Lieutenant General Masemola from SAPS.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Deputy Minister and members. Honorable members, I'm David Chelembe. I'm a Major General in the South African Police Service, responsible for borders.
Good morning, Chair. Colonel Kevin Stein from SAPS.
Good morning, Chair, Honourable Members, Deputy Minister Dion Erasmus. I'm the Chief Director, Legal Services and Home Affairs.
Good morning, Chairperson, Honourable Members, Deputy Minister. My name is Alra Africa. I'm the Project Manager for the BMA in the Department of Home Affairs.
My name is Fatima Chauhan, and I'm the Deputy Minister of Home Affairs for my sins, which are plenty.
Good morning, Chair Members. Peter Kalin, the CLO, Minister of Defense.
Good morning, Members. Rich Marini, CLO, Secretary of Defense.
Morning, Malay, from the Communications Office.
Morning, Members. I'm Kumlani Diamond from the Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Okay, thank you very much. I have two apologies from my side. One from Honorable Mamburu and the other one from Honorable Mshodi. Department of Finance will join us later. They are presenting in a portfolio committee. Just to say again, this is a very important bill, I must say, very important. We've been, as a committee, going around different borders just to see what is happening, to do our oversight. It had been very difficult to operate there because we always hold the Department of Home Affairs to account. But when we get to these borders, you find that you have different departments doing their own, which the Department of Home Affairs does not have control over. So we're very much excited to have this bill. And I must also indicate that it is very urgent that we have this bill finalized. But having said that, we want to try to make sure that we close all loopholes. General Chelembe, one of the things that were said about your police in borders, issues that were raised in most of the borders, is that as defense changes their staff every 6 months, yours are permanent. If you have a corrupt member in the border, I'm saying if, You are stuck with the corruption forever because that member is placed on permanent basis. And some of the issues that were raised by defense is that they will arrest a person more than 5 times a day because they arrest, hand over to police, police release them. A person comes back again, arrest, hand over to police. But also when you talk to police, they have their own challenges, like in the Lebombo border and Bellbridge, yeah. The issue of the holding cells, they don't have holding cells. It could be other reasons. That is why I'm saying this BMA is very important for the country. You can man the border gates or the ports of entry, but the border lines are a big issue. So for us, it's very important that we have it go through. I'm not sure whether the police are ready. DM, it's not your day today, but I can give you time if you want to say something.
We concur that this is one of the most important endeavors in government. This bill has been in discussion for up to about 9 years. And part of the reason for such protracted discussions has been the fact that we are looking at a single command and control structure. You've just pointed out the exact problem that pertains at our ports of entry. Firstly, there isn't a single command and control system. which means that you have that many departments operating in the same environment, but each of them with their own priorities, each of them operating in a silo mentality. As much as the idea has always been collaboration, the problem is de facto it's just not worked. And the best practice internationally is a single command and control system that includes not just your port of entry, but your entire borderline space. And that's really what we hope to achieve with the structure. But Chair, as you point out, today is not our day. We have an opportunity to respond after you have taken all of these submissions during your public participation process, and we look forward to listening to people's views and comments. We will take on board those things that we think are very pertinent. And we will then respond once we are given that opportunity by the committee. Thank you very much.
No, thank Honourable Kaula.
Thanks, Chair. Your invitation said we'll get briefings by SAPS, Finance and Defence. I do see SAPS, they've introduced themselves. The Treasury said they are on their way. I heard nothing about Defence.
One of them at the back there who introduced themselves, and there's the other one I was liaising with, I think he's outside now. They will indicate, they said something to me, but they will have to say it in the meeting because the invitation was very clear on what is expected by the committee. I was checking if police is ready to do a presentation. I just want to indicate that please just say everything. This is an opportunity. It's not an examination. We're not here to find faults. We just want to hear. If there are challenges, raise them. But we have challenges here so that we can see how best we can assist in this process. We don't approve a bill later, challenges come. That is why we invited you. Over to you, General. You will direct us who will be doing the presentation.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and the Honorable Members of the Committee and the Minister of the Deputy Minister of Home Affairs. As I introduce myself, Chairperson, Lieutenant General Masemola, the Deputy Commissioner for Policing. Firstly, let me apologize on behalf of the National Commissioner, General Sithole. He has been held somewhere. He valued this committee very much. He wanted to be here himself, but he couldn't for some reason. I think I won't have to introduce the delegation because it has already been introduced. Chairperson Nopeni, just safe to say that we were part of the engagements with the Department of Home Affairs as this bill has been drafted, and at various points we made our comments and remarks, and I'm sure some have been taken into account, some not, and we will also indicate challenges that we foresee. One of the areas that one has to mention up front is that the constitution of the country prescribed the mandate of the SANDF as to what is their responsibility regarding the borders. At the same time, it also described what is the mandate of the police regarding the borders. And the bill, at some point, it describes that along the border within a specific distance, it is the responsibility of the authority or the BMA. So there we are not sure as to how the legislation is going to supersede the constitution. But of course, I'm sure if the legislatures, which is yourself, knows better, you can overcome that. By all means, we have got no problem. We are in favor of single command, development of a BMA to oversee the ports of entry in the country. and as a South African police service, and we believe that we still have a role as the police to play a crucial role in the policing within those borders in terms of the classical policy mandate, which is your crime prevention, crime investigation, and law enforcement. I will give over to General Shilembe just to take us through the presentation. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. and our honourable members that are present, and Deputy Minister of Home Affairs, senior officers that are around. I wanted to say protocol observed, but we're told by somebody that it is wrong saying protocol observed. Chairperson, I'll do the presentation from the police side, but I wanted to express categorically, firstly, that in this process of the establishment of Border Management Agency, the SAPS is part of that process. We are participating in all the committees that are there, and we give all our input in whatever that is happening here. I'm taking your words that let us ensure that we put everything on the table in order that when the bill is passed, we don't come back and say, but what is it that was left? as the general has also said, that we are also in favour of the single command at the border environment. However, we are saying a decision should be taken, a clear decision that who's going to take that lead. Because the whole process was that there will be a project manager's office assigned from the Department of Home Affairs that will then come up with the whole process, and then Parliament will then decide that who then takes over. That's how we are looking mm-hmm. at the whole process when we present it. Jefferson, the table of contents put forward there is that there will be a purpose, an illustration of the South African map on borders, the introduction and background, the BMA vision, the guiding principles of the BMA, comments from SAPS about the BMA. Then we are going to have general inputs from the SAPS on the bill itself. Then the main theme of SAPS comments. We'll then, Chairperson, have proposed SAPS scenarios, as we have mentioned that there are constitutional issues with regards to the borders. There are scenarios that we have put forward, that these are the scenarios that SAPS have put forward. Then there will be a recommendation and a conclusion. Chair and other honourable members, the purpose of this presentation, as we were requested, was to come and brief the Select Committee on Social Services on the SAPS comments regarding the Border Management Authority Bill. We are further going to share the status of SAPS participation in the process, in the establishment of the BMA, and the proposed options that led to the preferred scenario. In other words, we're going to put the scenario. That is the rationale of why SAPS is choosing the proposed option. Chair, we also decided to put in this map that depicts what we have in South Africa when we are talking about borders. But what are we talking about? We're talking about declared ports of entries and also the borderline. It's either land borderline or air borderline, and the coastal borderline. The map, if you look at it, it's got ports of entry that are in white, the numbers that are in white. It depicts the land ports of entry, land borders, that are in around South Africa. You'll see that they are scattered around the whole country. And we are saying at all these borders, you have SAPS representation. So we are represented fully in all of them, although we have also categorized them into category in terms of their importance or in terms of the movement. But those that are busy, we categorize them as an A category or B category in order to assist us in terms of capacity building at those ports. Then those that are in orange are international airports. You will notice, Jefferson, that at each and every province, there is an international airport. Then when it comes to Gauteng, there are two, that is Otjambo International and Lanseria, that are also international airports. Then you'll see that the others that are in the yellow, it depicts the international harbors, declared international harbors in South Africa. You'll also notice that in Gauteng, there's an international harbor, which is a dry port, we call it City Deep, that links with the other harbors that are on the water side. Then we have also what we call the transfrontier conservation areas. The City Deep is a dry port, but it's a sea border because it is linked to the seaside. In other words, there are containers that are en route other to the country that we don't search at the, when they enter, but the first port of call for them is City Deep in Johannesburg.
The seaside in Gauteng is a bit puzzling to us.
Yes.
Because we understand Gauteng not to be an area where there is sea.
Yes.
Along. So if you can just clarify, because maybe you are saying it in a different context.
Yeah, it's a we sorry.
It's not coastal, is it?
Yeah, no.
What is the sea? What is the sea in your understanding as police for your own operations, for you to create an imaginary sea in Gauteng? What is the sea in your understanding? So that we are with you. We don't want we're getting lost. We don't want to lose you.
Yes.
Imaginary sea, I suspect is an imaginary sea. Why that? Couldn't you use other things other than sea? I don't know.
Yes, Chair. Yes, we can use other things other than sea, but it's a historical issue that comes from a long time ago. It's called a dry port. In other words, it's a connection between Devon seaport with the dry port. What happens is that you'll find sometimes that there are transshipment that are going to other countries like Botswana, those that they don't have a sea. Then the containers are then taken from the Devon Harbour because technically they are not in South Africa, but they're taken through to City Deep. Then from City Deep, then they're being taken to those other countries. Now, the same area is also being used by South Africans who then say, my container, I want it to come to City Deep instead of going to Durban. But it will come through Durban. But then in Durban, they'll then be taken through the train or a truck, which is closed, that cannot be opened. Then they're taken to City Deep. When it arrives at City Deep, then it becomes the first port of call.
Okay, you were still telling us about the ports of entry. Maybe when you come to the details of each port of entry, what happens there, maybe we'll understand.
Yes.
Because now you were just mentioning, we're just puzzled about the sea in Gauteng.
In Gauteng, yes.
Dry port. The
dry port. Yes.
Dry port. Okay, well, Lenny.
Yeah.
One will have to know what is dry about the port.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Very interesting. Okay. When don't worry, continue, because we're just giving us what is where, which ports of entry is where.
Yeah.
But let's continue. When you come to details, remember we are having this thing that we don't understand.
Yes.
Yeah.
Chairperson, the whole port of entry environment are declared by the Minister of Home Affairs to be a port of entry. But this one was declared by the Minister of Finance, that is in terms of customs, because there's no movement of people. It's only movement of goods that are there. So it is a port of entry in terms of goods. So you'll notice that at TTTIP, you won't have Home Affairs working at TTTIP, but you'll have police and customs that are working in terms for border control purposes. Yes. 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 It's an international norm, Jefferson, that you do have such ports that are declared by the Department of by Finance. For example, you at these ports that I've just shown you, there are commercial ports, semi-commercial ports, and then non-commercial ports. Now, the Minister of Finance, in terms of customs, then declares a port that although it has been declared as a port of entry, but that port cannot be used for commercial purposes. So it's the Minister of Finance who declares that. I'm trying to yes.
You will have to come in. What is a port of entry? What is a port of entry?
Yes.
So for our understanding, if somebody else, I do understand it's an international standard, but we must understand, you see,
yes,
that we are part of international doesn't mean that we must agree on everything international says. We must understand before we say yes. We must have an understanding.
Yes.
Maybe that is why we are trying to have a single,
yes,
entity that will deal with, yeah. Okay, later, maybe she will also have to come in.
Maybe also, Chairperson, just to bring another spanner here, that we also have informal crossings. These informal crossings are not declared ports of entries, but because the colonial borders, when borders were made in South Africa, divided families. Now you have a situation where you have a family in Swaziland and a family in South Africa that are related to each other, but there's a line, there's a border line. Now the challenge that we are facing is that these people don't go to the declared port of entry, but they cross over because they're saying my father is just on the other side. Why must I go to a port of entry while I just go and see my father? That's the reason why with the Department of Home Affairs we have come up with a process whereby we wanted to deal with the issue of informal crossings. Currently, we have declared one that's called the Tsedila Mlomo, which is a test in the northwest in Botswana, whereby the locals are allowed to move up and down at that port. They are not going to a declared port, but they go over the fence. And we open up that fence in order for them to be able to move. We have a lot of them that I can count. We have Mbuzini and in Mpumalanga. Mbuzini connects South Africa, Swaziland, and Mozambique at the same area. So and Magudu and yes, all those areas. Previously, what was happening was that the defense would have defense members who sit there and write the names of those people who are saying, no, I'm going to my family, then they just write their names, trying to control that, because the whole border land borderline in environment, we've got a lot of those informal crossings. The current situation at Emangus, where the president went there to go and try to sort out the problem, it's a similar thing, that you have gate 6 and gate 8, where people are moving up and down every day. Even if you have defense or you have police, they're not even afraid, because they are used to that. They move up and down. You've got school children that are on the other side coming to school in South Africa. So those are the challenges that whenever we're looking at these issues, we need to be very broad at looking at it, that it's not as easy as we're taking it. The other issue that maybe I must mention, Chairperson, is the transfrontier conservation areas. The transfrontier conservation areas are, in terms of environmental affairs, where you have parks that are between the two countries. For example, if you look at there's a border post called Due Referen. This border post, when you enter or when you exit that border post, you can either go to Namibia or Botswana. It's based on that transfrontier initiative. Then if you go to Limpopo or Mpumalanga side, we've got what we call Chiriondo. It was also opened for the sake that the Kruger National Park, people are coming into the Kruger National Park, who wants to go to the park on the Mozambican side. They don't have to use passport, but they can go through that border, because they're not going to Mozambique. But they can go through to that border, and they are in Mozambique. Then go and enjoy on the park and come back. But if they want to proceed to Mozambique, then they will be using their passport at that border post in order to cross to Mozambique. Those are the challenges that we are putting forward, that these borders are opened as a tourist gate, but then they end up being used as normal transport. So there's a lot of them. If you look at the map, all those where we put in the white rings, those are the transfrontier parks that are around the country. If you look at on the Lesotho side, on the Sunny Pass side, you'll notice that border, Sunny Pass, is 14 kilometers into South Africa. It's not at the borderline. It's in South Africa, inside South Africa, 14 kilometers. So in other words, if you pass Sunny Pass, you have not entered Lesotho, but you're still in South Africa. But technically, because of the way the borders are being run, your passport is being stamped, then it means you are in Lesotho. The border between us and Lesotho is 14 kilometers. That difference. So those are some of the challenges that we have to look at when we are really talking about what the borders are all about. Coming back to the presentation, Chairperson, as an introduction, we have been asked to come to comment on the bill, so we will concentrate mostly on the issue of the bill. We are saying during August 2015, the Department of Home Affairs, as a lead agency for the establishment of the BMA, published a draft Border Management Agency Bill for comment. Further, on 6 of October 2015, the DHA introduced to the National Assembly an explanatory summary of the bill, which was published in the Government Gazette. That number. The events leading up to the bill can be summarized as follows. That is our understanding. Is that in 2009, during the SONA, the president announced that the government will be setting up or will start the process of setting up a border management agency. And subsequent to that, in June 2011, the Minister of State Security, because during that time, the lead agency was not with Home Affairs, but was with State Security. And the Minister of State Security, in his budget vote, indicated that the JCPS Cabinet Committee decided to an integration model, other than the coordinating model that we've been busy with and in the polar environment to be completed by 2014. That was his strategic or roadmap with the establishment of the polar management of the PMA. Also, the medium-term strategic framework 2009-2014 has an item under strategic priority 6 that says intensify the fight against crime and corruption, establish a border management agency to manage migration, customs and land borderline control services to efficiently coordinate the services of other departments in the ports of entry. I'm just laying down those events that lead us to where we are. In June 26, 2013, Cabinet resolved to establish a PMA, endorsed the formation of an interministerial oversight committee for the duration of the PMA establishment, and further resolved that the Department of Home Affairs will be now the lead agency in the establishment of the PMA. So our understanding is that the Department of Home Affairs is the lead agency in terms of the establishment. Chairperson, just we brought in the PMA vision because we want that we should not be taken away from the direction of that. The PMA vision is to balance facilitation of legitimate trade and travel functions while simultaneously addressing the security risk. It will be established as a single body under a single executive authority, constituted as a single accounting authority, and established by an enabling act. Assume control of the port of entry and borderline functions in the three spheres, maritime, aviation, and land. I will show the ambiguity on this when we move forward of saying sometimes we tend to go one side and we leave the others. In terms of the guiding principle of the PMA, you are saying the PMA should be responsible and accountable for the entire border environment. In other words, the PMA should be in charge of everything that's about borders to ensure coordination, collaboration, oversight control, and effective management, and to be achieved through integrated systems and cooperation within the appropriate legal framework. Now, these are now the comments from the SAPS in terms of the bill. We are saying on the 8th June 2017, the National Assembly passed the PMA bill that deals with the establishment of the authority. However, the bill still has to go through normal parliamentary processes. I think what we're doing now is those are the processes that include it to be referred to the National Council of Provinces before it is approved through endorsement by the President. SAPS concern is that whereas the bill should be viewed as an attempt to establish a framework for the establishment of the PMA, there are some concerns that the bill in its current format may impact negatively on the SAPS. The concerns are that the bill can lead to various interpretation difficulties, which may lead to unintended consequences in terms of its application and also in terms of SAPS functions. We have submitted our comments that we submitted previously to the department, to the portfolio committee on home affairs, on what were those issues that we were having concerns on. We have attached them. I don't know whether. Yeah, yes, there they are. They have been attached. Further, when we continue with our comments, Chairperson, is that in the preamble of the bill, there's a specific mention that is made of the constitutional functions of the SNDF in relation to borders. There is, however, no reference to the constitutional functions of the SAPS. That's the concern that we are putting forward here, that the bill that doesn't talk about the constitutional functions of the SAPS. It should be noted that the establishment of the Border Management Authority will not take away the responsibility of SAPS in terms of the NDP 2030, that they're ensuring that people of South Africa are and feel safe. In other words, what we're trying to say here is that whether there's BMA or not, SAPS is still going to have to conduct certain functions at the border. Let's continue. We further, Chairperson, say, although the definition of border law enforcement function is an improvement on the first bill, because first bill it was a bit vague. We're saying in terms of clause 4.2, which states that the border law enforcement functions within the border law enforcement area at the port of entry must be performed exclusively by the officers of the authority. And the issue of border law enforcement is defined as follows, that border law enforcement area is defined as in respect of the land border site, that it is a distance of 10 kilometers or any reasonable distance inside the internationally recognized borders of the Republic. Or in the maritime, they are saying the maritime borders is a distance of 10 kilometers or any reasonable distance on the landward side of the baselines extending seaward to the outer limit of the exclusive economic zone. That is in terms of the Maritime Zone Act. Chairperson, it is not clear whether this provision excludes SAPS from border law enforcement area. That's what we are putting forward. When performing a policing function, the unintended consequences of this clause may very well be that such an anomaly that SAPS will not be part of the making that people of South Africa are safe in those areas. The provision could be interpreted to exclude the SAPS when it needs to act in terms of Section 1310 of the Police Act, for example, the issue of holding of setting up of roadblocks where it is reasonably necessary for the purposes of control over the illegal movement of people and goods across borders of the Republic. It is respectfully submitted to the Select Committee that the parallel performance of policing functions is a safeguard against possible corruption or where the illegal movement of people or goods across borders are not detected by the officers of the BMA. That's what we're trying to put forward, that this is one part of the police function. It is proposed that clause 4.2 be amended to read that the border law enforcement functions within the border law enforcement area and at ports of entry must be performed exclusively by the officers of the authority with due regard to the functions of the South African Police Service. That's what we're proposing. Further, Chairperson, clause 19.2, Roman figure 4, deals with the issue of arrest. It is proposed that arrest is a serious infringement of the right to freedom and needs to be dealt with a circumspect manner. It is valuable to note that SAPS, whenever a suspect is arrested, is not only bound to the parameters of the Criminal Procedure Act or the applicable laws, but also internal rules related to arrest, search and seizure to ensure constitutional right of arrested people. In terms of clause 21, which deals with arrested persons and detained goods, but there is no procedure for the handling of persons after being handed over to SAPS. Again, the detention of a person after arrest is a serious infringement on the constitutional rights, and there must be a proper legal basis for the arrest and handing over of persons to SAPS. The clause 19, paragraph 2b, Roman figure 4, does not prescribe the manner and effect of arrest, and it will be uncertain whether the arrest was lawful and whether the subsequent detention will be lawful. It is respectfully proposed that, at the very least, an insertion be made to specify that the Criminal Procedure Act applies. The reason why we're mentioning these issues is that there's currently a case of Mr. Abdul Rahim, where he was arrested by the Department of Home Affairs, but then detained at the police cells. We were joined into that case because they're saying you detained him, although maybe the case that Mr. Rahim was arrested unlawfully. So those are the issues that we're putting forward, that we need to clarify that handing over process, how is it going to be managed. Our general input on the bill, Chairperson, is that the objective of the BMA establishment is to better the situation within the border environment, particularly the porousness within the borderline. However, the bill is focused on the ports of entry, which was not, in our opinion, a big problem, because currently those ports of entry, as I've pointed out earlier in the map, is that all of us are there. We are coordinated currently by the Department of Home Affairs, and there's a multi-party agreement that we have signed, all the departments that deals with how the port of entry should be dealt with. We're further saying the bill is silent on airstrips, airfields, slipways, small harbors, and informal crossings. Last week I was here presenting on the issue of small harbors, where the Portfolio Committee on Public Works went around the small harbors of Western Cape, where there was an issue of crime. We were assigned that police, you have to ensure that those areas are policed. But the bill doesn't talk about those issues. That's why we're raising that. Then the main themes for SAPS comment, Chairperson, we pray that the recognition of SAPS as a constitutionally mandated primary law enforcement agency for the Republic should be considered. It appears as if the drafters did not recognize Section 199, subparagraph 1 of the Constitution, which expressly states that the security services consist of a single defense force, a single police service, and any intelligence services established in terms of the Constitution. Further, the bill does not distinguish between functions of the SAPS that relate to normal day-to-day policing, the classical policing that we're talking about, and those that relate to border control. Because we have a duty to do, or even also on border control itself. These constitutional imperatives must be recognized, and we pray that they should be... these constitutional imperatives must be recognized in any legislation establishing a law enforcement agency and must be stated unequivocally. Unconstitutional transfer of the administration of legislation and assignment of functions, the manner in which clauses 22 and 26 deal with the issue, should be subject of an opinion from the Office of the State Law Advisor, as the mechanisms and processes seem to be unconstitutional. In terms of the vagueness of the procedure, we think the bill only recognizes functions of the SAPS with regards to detention of persons. However, no procedures are contained in the bill, and the SAPS may be liable for civil claims as a result. This is an example of the Abdul Rahim case that I've just mentioned earlier. Any unlawful arrest will obviously result in the unlawfulness of subsequently detention, and it is proposed that the bill makes provision for that procedure. The bill further concentrates on the functions performed at the port of entry. I've just mentioned this previously, but misses the point that the police deployed at the port of entry are but part of the broader SAPS. We are not another border policing, but we are part of the SAPS. And all the systems that we use are linked to the broader SAPS. And the transferring of such will literally mean the transferring of the entire SAPS system into the BMA. That's how we read it. In order to address these issues, Chairperson, the DG of Home Affairs and the National Commissioner met in order to clarify these issues. And we came to an agreement, but this agreement is between two departments, that is Home Affairs and SAPS, that the bill will not affect the classical policing in the border environment. That's what we agreed on. But I don't think that that agreement will have anything to do with the whole act, because the act is not between SAPS and Home Affairs, but it talks about the whole border environment. Despite the possible establishment of the BMA, the police will continue and remain with its function, that no functions will be ceded. That's what we agreed with Home Affairs, that police functions will not be ceded into the BMA. But like as I'm saying, I'm saying this, that these were just agreements between the two departments on this issue. Then, Chairperson, these are the proposed scenarios that the police, when we were now looking at the whole BMA process, that the scenarios that we put forward for the management of SAPS, one was to cede all powers to the BMA. In other words, that members of the SAPS that are working in the border environment becomes part of the authority and cease to be members of the SAPS. So everybody who's working at the border environment, doing any policing function, ceded into the BMA, but whatever, then they will cease to be members of the SAPS, but they're members of the BMA. The second scenario was that we can detach members for a certain period to the authority on a rotational basis, trying to say, okay, right, for a period of 5 to 10 years, we're going to rotate members that will be part of the authority on a rotational basis and have a dual reporting. Obviously, there will be a dual reporting because they are SAPS members. The policies and the procedures still needs to be done from the SAPS side. Then the third one is that to function parallel to the authority while maintaining its powers and responsibility. In the next slide, I'll try to show the same thing that I've presented here, but also come up with the observations that we see as SAPS. We're saying scenario A, the SAPS border operational units, those units at borders, may be considered to form part and parcel of the BMA structures with their appropriate command and control hierarchy and cease to be SAPS members. Here we're talking about plus or minus 7,000 personnel that must be then seeded into the BMA. But these are our observation, Chairperson, is that these units will be in this scenario detached permanently from the broader SAPS, but may require certain linkages to SAPS in order to deal with the classical, in terms of checking or access to the police systems. These units may benefit from the focused omnibus budget allocated to the BMA. Because we're looking at the issue that we are not working together. But if then there is a BMA, there will be an omnibus budget that will cater for all these other issues that we're having a problem, like the issues of scanners. Then it can be bought from a single budget, and all of us will then have access to those that will solve the problem. However, the SAPS will be deprived of the resources, approximately 7,000 personnel, and the accompanying operational budget. The reason why we are placing this is that the 7,000 personnel that will be seeded into the BMA process will cease to be police members. Then police have to come up with a new structure that will then do the policing function. In other words, we will cease 7,000 and then we'll have to start again having another 7,000 that will be then doing the police function that cannot be done by the BMA. In terms of opportunities, we're saying the opportunities to join and cross training of officers under one academy will be a possible part of this scenario. That's our observation on scenario A. On scenario B, we're saying in this scenario, the SAPS units operational at the borders are seconded to the BMA structure for a certain period of time, e.g. the tour of duty can be between 3 to 5 years or whatever. Then another group will then be seconded for a similar period, so it goes. That rotational basis. Our observation in this scenario, Chairperson, is that this scenario will allow members who wish to continue with their careers as SAPS members to do so after they have completed their BMA tour of duty. And any period less than 3 years, that's what we're saying, may not be maybe sufficient for members to master the operational aspect of the border operations. Again, to avoid family disruptions, such as deployment, must continue for a number of years, and as such, the beginning and end of the tour of duty must coincide with programs such as school opening and the closing calendar, in order for them not to be having a problem. Further, we're saying the detached members herein may benefit from the omnibus BMA budget allocation while on secondment. Opportunities for joint and cross-induction training of officers under one academy will be a possible part of this scenario, as the SAPS members will be detached for a period of time. The last scenario is the one that says in this scenario the SAPS operational unit at borders remains outside the BMA structures. However, they will continue to work alongside and in cooperation with the BMA officers. Our observation in this one is that the BMA may have a focused omnibus budget that caters primarily for all stakeholders under the BMA, and that will be for the exclusion of SAPS. So it means SAPS will have to fight on its own to have their own budgetary processes. The SAPS will, in this case, need to develop or keep a separate set of policies and standards from the BMA ones, as well as a separate budget. Productive planning and budget reprioritization may not always be possible in this scenario, e.g. capital expenditures or prioritization on transversal account procurement may not be optimized and synchronized unless it is contained in the implementation protocols. In all the above scenarios, we are saying classical policing will be as follows. It will include, or it shall include, the policing of borders, the arresting, seizure, goods, opening of case dockets, security of wanted or sought persons, goods, the investigation of transnational crimes, and other operationalizing intelligence gathered, e.g. controlled deliveries and follow-up investigations. The collection, preservation, and presentation of exhibits, arrest and detention of suspects, the appearance and testifying in court. Because any arrest that is happening, when you hand over to SAPS, SAPS have to follow those processes because it's us who appears in court. Everything that we do that comes to SAPS must be tested in court. Whether it's right or wrong, it needs to go through that process. All the above mentioned are functions to be executed by SAPS exclusively. Currently, there's no other department that can take people to court, open dockets, and all of those things. That is the function of the SAPS. Chairperson, our recommendation. The constitutional mandate of SAPS should be acknowledged in the bill. That is our prayer. We're praying for that. Factors affecting the SAPS classical policing in the establishment of the BMA should be acknowledged and dealt with. It is recommended that option 3 is a preferred option of the SAPS. When I was presenting this to the management of the SAPS, they suggested that they would be better in terms of option 3, that is, we function parallel to the BMA, as the generality of the provisions in the bill of the BMA do not exclude the preferred option, namely that the SAPS continue to function at the borders in the manner that is presently done. In conclusion, Chairperson was saying border control should not be a hindrance to cross-border operations. Instead, it should be seen as a vehicle to encourage the regulating of orderly movement of people and goods. Any controls or measures put in place must be aimed at ensuring the healthy movement of people and goods as an essential step towards free trade, growth, prosperity, and cross-border movement. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
for the presentation. Honourable members, can you allow me to take another presentation? I don't know whether you want to interact with this one now, or can we take another presentation? There are so many issues in this presentation. Can I have a direction from members? Honourable Kaula?
Chair, I'm not sure if maybe, from what has been presented, I think it's important that we deal with these issues individually. Taking another presentation might conflict the issues, because you can see here that it's like the gist of our meeting today is based on what has been presented already. So I have a feeling that maybe let's deal with this one alone. Maybe we can club the others. But this one, I feel that we just have to just focus on it individually. Thanks, Chair.
Any other input from members? There's a proposal. Honourable Mpambos Bogwana. Okay. Yeah. Can I take hands for comments, questions, for clarification? I will allow at the end of this the legal team to speak to these issues. How did they come here? Because this is the final take of the bill. I will allow them to speak. Okay, I'll start with you, but I'm just making these comments. I will allow the legal team to speak to these issues. That is what makes bills taken to court after they've been passed. How did this bill get here with all these issues? They will have to advise us on that one. We will also allow the Department of Home Affairs to speak to some of the issues that are raised. But Honorable Kaula, Honorable Chris, are you fine? Honorable Hutting, I'm used to say Chris. Are you fine?
I'm fine, thank you. I think the input from the state legal team, like you have alluded to, would be valuable before we engage with the question.
Chair, exactly what I wanted to say, to suggest, Chair, that why don't we have the state law advisor comment on all these constitutional and legal issues first, because if we go to questions without them clearing all these legal issues that SAPS has put before us, it doesn't make sense. Let's allow state law advisor to talk on these issues, because I would have been interested to say, with all these issues here, how did this go through NA? So can we have state law advisor talk to all these legal issues and constitutional issues first, Chair? Thanks.
Okay, I will still allow questions after that, honourable members. But can not only state law, we have legal advisors from Home Affairs, from Parliament. How did this come here with the constitutional implications on this? How did we come here with these issues? I don't know who will start. Home Affairs, you will want to start? Who will start? Okay, let me start from there.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, we have engaged with the South African Police Services together with the Department of Home Affairs on these constitutional issues before. Since September 2016. Actually, since July 2016. And we have formed part of many of the workshops and, as I said, many of the meetings that took place between SAPS and between the Department of Home Affairs. And the issues that were raised then were addressed, and those are the same issues that are raised now. Because of the constitutional nature of these issues, obviously the Portfolio Committee on Home Affairs were also concerned. And this formed the basis of a legal opinion which we had provided to the Portfolio Committee on Home Affairs on the 20th of October 2016, where we addressed in our view, all of the constitutional issues that are still being raised by the South African Police Services even after our legal opinion. So if if the chairperson perhaps wants us to provide you also with the opinion, we can do so. I apologize, I did not prepare the same legal opinion for this meeting. We only received the submission late yesterday afternoon, so obviously we didn't have enough time to prepare a separate legal opinion. But since the issues are very much the same, I can make this opinion available also to this committee. I don't know if Chairperson wanted me to go through the opinion or just to mention some of the points. Did you want me to perhaps go through the opinion?
Yeah, in fact, let me start off by saying SAPS, they are saying they are not against the bill. They support it. That is their bottom line. And they are also saying they are part of the process. But they have constitutional mandate that they have to perform as SAPS. If I'm just trying to guide your input, I don't know what you have. They are saying if the bill goes through as it stands now, what does it mean to their constitutional mandate? That's what I'm hearing from them. What does it mean to their constitutional mandate? Does it mean that they cede that mandate to the PMA? And what will be their role as police now? Meaning that if, besides the fact that, General, that there's a lot of corruption in police themselves, which is a concern to us, you must tell us how you're going to deal with that. What does it mean to them? The bills goes through, they are saying, their mandate is not recognized by the bill, is not captured. You might have made your opinion or legal opinion, but in your understanding now, with the current bill as it stands now, is the issues that were raised, because we are saying they are raising the same issues, are they factored in the bill? If you can come in, give those inputs, I will give other legal members to assist us.
Thank you, Chair. Perhaps I'll, let me say that the basis of our opinion was the constitutional mandate that is alleged by SAPS. But I will start, just to give background, I will start with perhaps our summary of what had transpired at the meeting on the 19th of September 2016, which took place between the DG of Home Affairs and the Acting National Commissioner at the time. There it was decided that the BMA bill is not unconstitutional. These were the agreements between the parties. And that was after we had discussed all of the constitutional issues raised by SAPS and after the department had their say about the operational issues, which obviously form a great part of SAPS's submission. So there it was decided that the BMA bill is not unconstitutional regarding its implication for SAPS's classic policing or border control or policing functions, and no substantive revisions are necessary to the current BMA bill on this matter. That was the BMA bill then in 2016, but it had changed through the portfolio committee process. The BMA does not affect the classic police functions of the SAPS. The SAPS will continue to perform classic policing functions like crime investigation, whilst the BMA will deal with border law enforcement functions pertaining to the movement of people and goods as envisaged in the BMA bill. Classic policing will be a concurrent function between the BMA and the SAPS within the border law enforcement area and at the ports of entry. Various sub-specialist functions, for example, investigations and intelligence gathering, will remain in the SAPS and will not be transferred nor be assumed by the BMA. The SAPS's police stations located within the ports of entry will remain in place after establishment of the BMA, and the general mandate for the SAPS to be involved in classic policing remains unaffected, while the BMA will assume primary responsibility for border law enforcement. The SAPS and the department will further engage on a range of operational issues that would emanate from the establishment of the BMA. That would happen through the conclusion of Memoranda of Understanding and Standard Operating Procedures. For the benefit of the committee, we shall consider the points raised by SAPS in its submission to the committee in our legal opinion, to demonstrate the SAPS's mandate with emphasis on Section 13.6 of the South African Police Services Act, Item 24 of Schedule 6 of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, that's the current constitution, and Section 2181J of the Interim Constitution, that is the Constitution of 1993. And the question around the constitutional mandate of SAPS centers around Section 2181J of the Interim Constitution, which is which confers an exclusive constitutional responsibility on the SAPS to perform their functions in relation to border control and the import of and export of goods. Then we just went through a process of interpreting Section 218. Sections 215 and 218 of the Interim Constitution are applicable to the SAPS. Section 215 of the Interim Constitution states as follows: the powers and functions of the service, that's the police service, shall be the prevention of crime, the investigation of any offence or alleged offence, the maintenance of law and order, and the preservation of the internal security of the Republic. The powers and functions are thus listed broadly in Section 215, but this section does not specifically refer to the borderline or border control. However, it does make reference to the preservation of internal security. As far as Section 218 of the Interim Constitution is concerned, it states that subject to the directions of the Minister of Safety and Security, which is now the Minister of Police, the National Commissioner shall be responsible for such functions relating to border control and the import and export of goods as may be assigned to the service by law. Section 218.1J of the Interim Constitution states that the responsibility for such functions relating to the border control and the import and export of goods as may be assigned to the service by law belongs to the National Commissioner, subject to the directions of the Minister. If we consider the language of this provision, it is clear that such functions relating to border control and the import and export of goods that are assigned to the service by law will be the functions under the mandate of the National Commissioner. This section does not specifically state how such functions may be assigned to the police, except to state that it may be assigned by law. In our view, ordinary legislation may be enacted by Parliament to either repeal or amend Section 218.1J of the Constitution. It still stands, it has not been repealed, and the wording of Section 218 does suggest that those specific functions can be included into ordinary legislation in terms of Section 75 of the Constitution. In its submission to the committee, SAPS avert that it has an exclusive constitutional mandate over border control functions, but it remains silent regarding the import and export of goods, a function that is also contained in Section 218.1J of the Interim Constitution. If the SAPS is submitting that border control is an exclusive constitutional mandate of the SAPS, then it logically follows that the functions relating to the import and export of goods should also be regarded as functions over which the SAPS would have exclusive constitutional mandate. However, SARS also performs functions relating to the import and export of goods, which mean that there is certainly no exclusivity to the functions that are referred to in Section 218.1J of the Interim Constitution. The only difference will be their mandates as provided for in the respective legislation. Furthermore, there is no reference in Section 218.1J of the Interim Constitution to the exclusivity of the border control function and how it relates to the constitutional mandate of the SAPS. Section 218.1J only refers to such functions relating to border control and the import and export of goods. In addition, Section 215 of the Interim Constitution does not specifically identify border control and the import and export of goods as functions or powers of the SAPS. The current constitution, sections 205, 206 and 207, as well as item 24 of Schedule 6 to the constitution, must also be considered when we interpret Section 218.1J of the Interim Constitution. And in this regard, Section 205 relates to the police service. It states that the National Police Service must be structured to function in the national, provincial, and, where appropriate, local spheres of government. National legislation must establish the powers and functions of the police service and must enable the police to discharge its responsibilities effectively, taking into account the requirements of the provinces. The objects of the police service are to prevent, combat and investigate crime, to maintain public order, to protect and to secure the inhabitants of the Republic of South Africa and their property, and to uphold and enforce our law. Section 205 thus provides that the national legislation must establish the powers and functions of the SAPS. In this regard, it must be mentioned that we are not aware of any legislation that lists border control and the import and export of goods as powers and functions of the SAPS, except for Section 13(6) of the SAPS Act, which states as follows with regard to the members of the SAPS. Any member may, where it is reasonably necessary for the purposes of control over the illegal movement of people or goods across the borders of the Republic, without warrant, search any person, premises, other place, vehicle, vessel or aircraft, or any receptacle of whatever nature at any place in the Republic within 10 kilometers or any reasonable distance from any border between the Republic and any foreign state, or in the territorial waters of the Republic or inside the Republic within 10 kilometers or any reasonable distance from which such territorial waters, or at any airport, or within any reasonable distance from such airport, and seize anything found in the possession of such person or upon or at or in such premises or other place, vehicle, vessel, aircraft or receptacle, and which may be lawfully seized. It is our view that Section 13(6) of the SAPS Act provides only for certain border control functions of members of the SAPS where it is reasonably necessary for the control over the illegal movement of people or goods across the borders of the Republic. The border control functions that will be performed by the BMA will be performed within the border law enforcement area and at ports of entry in respect of legal and illegal movement of people or goods, whilst the functions of the SAPS, as contained in Section 13(6) of the SAPS Act, are only limited to control over the illegal movement of people or goods. And it's further limited only to instances where it is reasonably necessary to perform such functions. So there is, in our view, no clash between 13(6) and the border law enforcement functions which the BMA seeks to perform. Section 206 of the Constitution refers to the political responsibility over the SAPS and provides that national policing policy must be determined after consulting with the provinces. In this regard, Section 206 states that a member of the Cabinet must be responsible for policing and must determine national policing policy after consulting with the provincial governments and taking into account the policing needs and priorities of the provinces, as determined by the provincial executives. It also then speaks, I'm not going to read the whole Section 206, but it is in the current Constitution, and it also provides for the national policing policy, which makes provision for different policies in respect of different provinces. So we also considered the national policing policy. And then we just refer again to Section 206(1) of the Constitution that provides for the determination of a national policing policy and legislation that inform the SAPS of its applicable functions. We are of the view that the national policing policy and current applicable legislation do not provide for the SAPS to specifically perform functions that relate to border control and to the import and export of goods. It also does not appear that these functions are exclusively conferred on the SAPS by legislation. In Section 207, it relates to the control of the police service, that is also in the new Constitution. It is stated that the National Commissioner must exercise control over and manage the police service in accordance with the National Policing Policy and the directions of the Cabinet member responsible for policing. So there we once again stated that Section 207 reaffirms our position that the National Commissioner and the SAPS are guided by their national policing policy, which does not include exclusivity in respect of the functions that relate to border control and the import and export of goods. Then we just refer to item 24.1 of Schedule 6 of the Constitution, which deals with the transitional arrangements. It states that, in particular, Section 2181 of the previous Constitution continue in force as if the previous Constitution had not been repealed, subject to the amendment to those sections as set out in Annex D, or subject to any further amendment or any repeal of those sections by an Act of Parliament passed in terms of Section 75 of the new Constitution. So what we say then is item 24 of Schedule 6 thus states that this item, this Section 2181 J of the Interim Constitution, it is revived, so it shall continue into force subject to amendments that may be done by an Act of Parliament passed in terms of Section 75 of the new Constitution. And our view is that the BMA Bill, as an Act of Parliament passed in terms of Section 75, is such an ordinary legislation that may then amend Section 2181J. So Section 2181J in its current form as it stands and as it's been revived in the Interim Constitution is not set in stone. It can be amended by an ordinary Act of Parliament. Let me just see. Okay, and then we said if the function relating to border control and the import and export of goods are not exclusive to the SAPs, since Section 2181J of the Interim Constitution refers to such functions that may be assigned by legislation. In addition, the functions relating to border control and the import and export of goods will be the responsibility of the SAPs only if such functions are conferred on the SAPs by applicable legislation. If it had been the legislature's intention to confer such functions in relation to border control and the import and export of goods exclusively to the SAPs, the Constitution would have indicated that legislation must be enacted to give effect to this responsibility, rather than to state these functions may be assigned to the SAPs by law. Since 1993, no legislation has been effected to confirm the SAPs' alleged exclusive responsibility or constitutional mandate in respect of functions that relate to border control and the import and export of goods. The SAPS is claiming only border control as an exclusive function and no mention is made of the functions relating to the import and export of goods. Section 2181J of the Interim Constitution cannot be interpreted in a piecemeal manner without also considering the context of Section 218 in its entirety within the context of the current Constitution. In addition, it must be stated that other legislation have conferred functions that relate to border control and the import and export of goods on, amongst other departments, such as the Department of Defense, Home Affairs, and SARS. Specific border protection and border control functions are assigned to the Defense Force. Certain functions in relation to the import and export of goods are assigned to SARS. And certain border control functions are assigned to the Department of Home Affairs, specifically in relation to illegal movement of persons. There is thus no exclusivity regarding the assignment of these functions. So our conclusion is that Section 2181J of the Interim Constitution does not confer on the SAPs the exclusive functions that relate to border control and the import and export of goods. The functions relating to border control and the import and export of goods as may be assigned to the SAPs by law, that is in legislation or otherwise, will be the responsibility of SAPs. However, no such law currently exists in our view. These pieces of legislation, that is now the Defence Act, the Customs Control Act of 2014, the International Trade and Administration Act, and the Immigration Act, that confer functions that relate to border control and the import and export of goods on different ministers have to date not been challenged on the ground of being inconsistent with Section 2181J of the Interim Constitution. The powers and functions of the SAPS are informed by the National Policing Policy and the SAPS Act. neither of which refers to the exclusive performance of functions that relate to the border control and the import and export of goods. And then with regard to the classic policing, the SAPs referred to classic policing functions such as the investigation, arrest, detaining, search and seizure in relation to crime, and highlighted that Section 13(6) of the SAPs Act confers on the SAPs the power to search and seize. We have consulted with the department, and the department informed us that the BMA will not perform classic policing functions, but will assist with border law enforcement functions insofar as it affects the borderline and the exercise of border law enforcement functions. We disagreed with the department, and we were of the view that the BMA will inevitably be performing certain classic policing functions, specifically in relation to the border law enforcement area and the ports of entry. Therefore, there will be some classic policing functions performed by the BMA. In our opinion, the BMA, as an armed service, must be able to investigate border law enforcement matters, search and seize at points and places of entry, and arrest when required. This may overlap with classic policing functions, but it is submitted that functions or powers associated with classic policing are not exclusively SAPS functions or powers. And then we made a few examples. For instance, the Immigration Act, which confers on immigration officers the power to arrest, detain, and deport persons as part of the border control functions assigned to the Minister of Home Affairs. This is similar to some of the classic policing functions performed by the SAPS. However, such functions are exercised within the ambit of the Immigration Act, and there is no transfer of classic policing functions to immigration officers, but both police officers and immigration officers perform the same functions in a different setting. Similarly, the Customs and Excise Act of 1964, the Anti-Personnel Personnel Mines Prohibition Act of 2003, and the Counterfeit Goods Act of 1997 provide for custom officials to perform classic policing functions as assigned to them. So also Section 38 to 41 of the International Trade Administration Act of 2002 goes so far as to appoint investigating officers and authorize such officers to investigate matters and also provide for the power to search and seize items with or without a warrant. Similarly, the National Environmental Management Act of 1998 provides for the appointment of environmental management inspectors that, in addition to the powers set out in the Act, must be regarded as being peace officers and officers and may exercise all the powers assigned to a peace officer or to a police official who is not a commissioned officer in terms of chapters 2, 5, 7 and 8 of the Criminal Procedure Act of 1977. Environmental management inspectors also have the power to search and seize. These are specialized functions, although they are also policing functions relating to environmental affairs that the SAPS cannot or does not have the capacity to undertake. The Special Investigations Unit and the Special Tribunal Act of 96 establishes the Special Investigation Unit that is independent from SAPS. In terms of its enabling legislation, the SIU thus also performs classic policing functions. And so does the private security sector in terms of the Private Security Industry Regulation Act, and it includes classic policing functions of investigation and providing safety services to an individual or entity in the private sector. In summation, we have provided random examples of legislation under the mandate of different ministers which provide officials with classic policing functions. Insofar as these functions relate to the applicable Act, the BMI will have similar officers who are either commissioned or non-commissioned officers that will be responsible for border law enforcement only in accordance with the BMI Bill and only within the border law enforcement area, that is within 10 kilometers radius from the borderline, and also at ports of entry. There is no intention to usurp classic policing functions that currently fall within the mandate of the Minister of Police. However, as illustrated with other legislation, the BMA may perform such functions relating to inspection, investigation, and search and seizure within the border law enforcement area and at ports of entry for the sole purposes of border law enforcement. our view is that there is nothing that prohibits officers of the BMA to perform these functions of investigation, search and seizure within the ambit of the proposed BMA bill and within the border law enforcement area and at ports of entry. With regard to the proposal by the SAPS that reference must be made in the preamble to the constitutional mandate of the SAPS, it is acknowledged and enshrined in our constitution that there is a single police service and further that the powers and functions of the SAPS are expounded in the SAPS Act. It will, however, be superfluous to restate what is already enshrined in the constitution or current legislation. We have noted that the SAPS commented at its presentation to the committee about the recognition of the BMA bill regarding the mandate of the Defence Force and that no reference is made in the bill to the mandate of the SAPS. It's our view that the borderline functions of the Defence Force are stipulated in the Defence Act, whereas the functions that relate to border control and the import and export of goods, which the SAPS is claiming as an exclusive SAPS function, are not provided in any law. If these functions were to be recognized specifically in the BMA bill, it would be giving effect to Section 2181J of the Interim Constitution by confirming such functions relating to border control and the import and export of goods in national legislation, which would be in conflict with the objective of the BMA bill, as well as the objective of other legislation that provide for functions that also relate to the import and export of goods. Furthermore, it will confer such functions relating to border control and the import and export of goods onto the SAPS without specifying these functions. This will lead to ambiguity in the BMA bill, and the bill would then be unconstitutional on the ground of vagueness. We are not aware of any current national policy decisions, proposed legislation by the SAPS, or cabinet decisions which could be regarded as national legislation, as envisaged under Section 2181J. Of the interim constitution. Our interpretation of Section 2181J is that functions that relate to border control and the import and export of goods are not exclusively conferred on the SAPS. In addition, Section 2181J refers to both border control functions and functions that relate to the import and export of goods, which cannot be interpreted in a piecemeal manner. Only the functions relating to border control and the import and export of goods that are assigned to the SAPS by legislation will be the responsibility of the National Commissioner. Currently, no such legislation or policy exists. Classic policing functions, such as the investigation, arrest, search and seizure, are not exclusively performed by the SAPS for the reasons expounded above. The BMA will also perform such functions within the border law enforcement area and at ports of entry. We are therefore of the opinion that the inclusion of a reference to Section 2181J of the Interim Constitution in the BMA bill will lead to ambiguity and may render the bill unconstitutional for the reasons expounded above. So I'm sorry about how long it was and some of it very technical, Chairperson. But what it comes down to is that the Defence Force has a constitutional mandate, which is stated in the Constitution, and it's taken through to their national legislation, whereas it is our view there is no similar reference to a constitutional mandate contained in the Constitution for SAPS that we can pull through to the BMA bill. And as explained, it would be in contravention of what the BMA bill is seeking to achieve. Yes, and as per the examples that I listed, classic policing functions are performed by a number of agencies and a number of other departments and officials in those departments. So it cannot be an exclusive function that can be ascribed only to SAPS. Thank you, Chairperson.
Yeah, no. Home Affairs.
Chair, I'll be very short and sweet. We agree with the contents of it. That's the process that we went through, even in the portfolio committee meetings, getting all the legal opinions, etc. There was just one issue where it was raised to say that it would appear that the drafters did not consider Section 199 of the Constitution. We specifically zoomed in to Section 199 of the Constitution. If you look in the bill, if you look at the Border Guard, if you look at Section 1993 of the Constitution, it allows for them to be an armed service. So that's where Section 193 of the Constitution, so I just want to categorically state that we did look into Section 199 of the Constitution when this was done. But as for the rest, and I don't want to belabor the points, we are in agreement with, it's a long discussion we had now, et cetera, but those are the issues that we dealt with at that
okay,
point.
Okay, the armed guard you're referring to is a new armed guard of the BMA, which could be done by SAPS.
Chair, what we're saying, in the border law enforcement area, when the functions are being performed, like, for instance, arrest, etc., you need to have somebody that can perform armed functions as well. Now, Section 1993, sub 3 of the Constitution, allows you to create something like that, and that's what's been done in terms of the BMA bill. So it's not an exclusive function of SAPS to be performed there, but Section 1993 of the Constitution allows that, and that's what's been done in the BMA bill.
My question is, you want to create something else, yet you have SAPS who can perform the same function? That's my question. The armed guard will do what SAPS can do. Why create a unit yet you have already SAPS in place? I'm not yet there. Anyone from the legal teams who wants to come in there? Are you all fine? No, I gave you an opportunity, enough time to... Oh, your legal guy, yeah. Because I was about to say, you see, these inputs that we're getting, we're not supposed to get it at this level. It was supposed to be debated at the executive level. By the time you come to us, you come with one voice at least. Because the discussions that are here are supposed to be debated by the legal teams. And the tone that I'm getting, I'm really not comfortable. Not at all. They claim, who? You are one government, you are one executive. I mean, I don't know what I'm hearing here, but let me give a SAPS legal person to speak. Unfortunately, we had to start before you come, I'm sorry.
Chair, yes, my apologies for being late. I'm involved in another committee as well, so thank you. Chair, I'm Brigadier Bert van der Walt, I'm with the legal services of SAPS, and I think as a whole, SAPS does not have a problem with a BMA bill in its primary form. The problematic issues relate to the exclusion of, or apparent exclusion of SAPS, especially when one looks at Clause 4.2, where exclusive functions are assigned to the Border Law Enforcement Agency. I think it's very unfortunate that the state law advisor only focused on an interpretation of our previous submission. Our previous submission was not that we have the exclusive border control functions. The previous submission, and it is also reflected in the agreement between the national acting national commissioner and the DG, was that there would be concurrent functions. However, when the bill was passed in the National Assembly, the broader principle disappeared. When we look at Clause 4.2, it appears as if the police would have no function at all, which is concerning. So the proposals we make is not, I think, earth-shattering. The proposals we make is to say that we are the police. Allow us to do our policing functions in that space. In cooperation with the Border Management Agency. I don't think there's a big dispute from our side on that point. And the small amendments we proposed would reflect that approach. So we don't say the Border Management Agency shouldn't exist or shouldn't have any powers. What we are saying is the SAP should have parallel powers. This also, Chairperson, in our view, safeguards the whole issue of corruption. If the police are corrupt, the Border Management Agency police officials will hopefully pick up on that and vice versa, so that we have that safeguard of the two law enforcement agencies in that space. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, I'll come back with my inputs. Oh, yes. sorry. I'm sorry for.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just on the side of Parliament, with regard to the issues that were discussed. Firstly, these issues were discussed before the Portfolio Committee extensively. Everything that we've heard before the Portfolio Committee, and the committee deliberated on all these issues. And the bill that you, or the B-bill that you see, is what the committee has decided to go with. So all these issues were discussed, and this is their final version of the bill after considering all of that. So there was a lot of time spent, even with the different legal advisors deliberating on these issues, but the committee made a decision on these points, and this is what we have before us. And I think my colleague already expressed herself on the constitutionality of the issue, but just to emphasize the point that our starting point is Section 1993 of the Constitution, which allows for the BMA to be established. So while the police is recognized in terms of the Constitution, there is still room for another security service to be created. So firstly, so the BMA structure or the creation of the BMA is rooted in Section 193. And as my colleague had said, that border control is not an exclusive function. So the issues that we are hearing now is regarding to the implementation and the operational issues. Mm-hmm. And this committee also has a mandate to consider these issues, and it feels that the bill, the portfolio committee, has fallen short on certain issues, then these suggestions still can be made to the committee with proposed amendments, and the portfolio committee will again have to consider it. Thank you, Chair.
Members, I just want to ask you, all of you, one question. What is wrong? What will be not right if SAPS perform the police, classical police functions that they are currently performing now, other than you having another unit? Is there anything you see wrong for what SAPS is doing now to perform it in the Border Management Agency? Maybe, yeah, can I give it to you?
Chairperson, from the legal service at Parliament side, the issue is that this has been a decision that has been made to bring this legislation. If the committee does not feel that this should, if Parliament does not feel that this is a proper way for this border management function should be to be performed, then that's within Parliament's power to reject this bill and say, no, we don't agree that this particular function should go to the BMA. We are fine with the way SAPS is operating, and we don't want this bill. But so that's the decision. I don't think I'm the right person to ask, because the question is, it's an operational issue. If there's problems that are with the way currently SAPS is working, then that's an operational issue as opposed to a legal issue. The question here before us, or the bill is before us, and we need to maybe find out from the department as to why they feel this is the better way to go than with SAPS. So it's not a question that I would be able to have the expertise in answering.
Thank you, Chairperson. We welcome the presentation of SAPS as well as the briefing by the Chief State Law Advisor. Nonetheless, Chairperson, I just want to start off by saying that I think we need to be careful, because many a times, as this government, we have been defeated in our argument at the level of the Constitutional Court for having passed legislations that are not in keeping with the spirit and the letter
of the Constitution. And those legislations or those acts were passed in the presence of the Chief State Law Advisor. I heard and I listened very carefully to the briefing by the state legal expert, but I still want to believe that there is no harm in my own interpretation when I read this, because I do get the sense of why SAPS is worried. The paragraph says, the border law enforcement functions within the border law enforcement area and at ports of entry must be performed exclusively by the officers of the authority. It says so. Exclusively. That excludes SAPS straight away. And if it is left like that, I don't think it is going to serve a good purpose, because if I hear SAPS world chairperson, they are saying they are not against the PMA. They are satisfied with the major portions of the bill. All they are pleading is that they are taken care of in terms of the insertion that they are proposing. I know that there's been a long process of deliberations, heads of department, DGs coming together, departments and so on, deliberating over this bill. And I want to agree with the chairperson that I think it is not proper for such issues to be in front of this committee. But I want to emphasize that this is the National Council of Provinces. That the NA agreed to this does not necessarily indicate that the NCOP will agree to it. We are a house in our own right. We've got a right to refer the bill back because we're not happy. We would like to see that insertion done there. Because the SAPS is saying it could be a parallel function. What slips through the fingers of SAPS can be picked by BMA. What slips through the fingers of BMA could be picked up by SAPS. There's nothing wrong about that. And I don't understand really where it had to go there. Roots of seeking legal opinions and things just to avoid that insertion. It doesn't make sense to me. And I submit, Chairperson, that insertion to me does make sense. And as a representative of provinces, I think we should do our duty as to say that SAPS has got a role to play here and it should be given due recognition. It is a constitutional prescript. Thank you.
Presentation from SAPS. But check the presentation from page 6. Kulendo in a leading department, Home Affairs. How settled now your presentation? Ekugqibeleni ikhombisa umsebenzi omninzi kuSAPS, but uSAPS akayiyo i-leading department. Ifike ke ngokuna kumkendi ngelilo igqwetha okanye umntu ofundela umthetho ndibe nobunzima apho ekugqibeleni umsebenzi omninzi uzawunikezelwa kwi-department Home Affairs, but ekugqibeleni umsebenzi omninzi ukwi-department yamapolisa. Indenze ke ngoku ndibe nengxaki, ndifune ke ngoku laa nto kum into yoba ndike ndiphindiswe esikolweni phaa ku-ABET, khe ndenziwe ndibe ntanganye as umama uZwane esitsho apha ecaleni kwam. But eyona nto ndi-emphasize kuyo yile ethi ibhili leyona ngokuyam i-understanding ke njengomntu ohlambuze uyentlanganisweni abona abantu bebefanele into yoba bayi-leading department kulo umcimbi wale border management bill ikwangamapolisa la. That is my understanding, slab. Ndiyakhomenta as umntu osentlanganisweni. Enkosi.
In short, you are saying, from page 6, if you look at the role of subs, there is more work that has to be done by subs than Home Affairs. She is saying, according to her, instead of having Home Affairs as a leading department, it's supposed to be subs because of the amount of work that has to be done by subs. That is what she was saying in short. Honorable Mpambo Sibokwana.
Thank you, Chair. I've been covered some of the things I wanted to raise by Honorable Zwane. I just want to say the bill is silent on trafficking. I hear from time to time that you're talking about illegal movement of people on the bill. And is that trafficking you're talking about? I'm made to understand that you should call a spade and not beat about the bush. Page 11, on page 11 of the bill, why silent on airstrips and sleeping ways? And I want to know why? The question is why? Why are you silent on page 11 on those things that you alluded to? Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. Just want to thank SAPS for this very clear presentation. I'm also tempted to draw conclusions, Chair, which I think will be a mistake, because I think today we just came to listen. But I do share the sentiments of the Chair and also the sentiments of Honorable Zwane in respect of item 4.2. When I was at school, the rector of our institution would always make a very clear distinction between two things, book knowledge and practical experiences. Chairperson, what state law is giving us is book knowledge. What SAPS is giving us is practical issues. And you see, we are the ones as communities out there who go out and complain that crime is high, what is SAPS doing? Now, if we strip SAPS of the powers to do what they are supposed to be doing, we are the ones again who will be complaining that they are failing us. Yet they are telling us that practically ABC should be happening. So I just want us to distinguish between this book knowledge presentation and the practical issues, which talk to the issues of crime practically. That must be catered for here. 4.2, like Honorable Zwane was saying, is also very crucial for me, Chair. And Chairperson, there is also... Now, for now, maybe let me stop there, Chair. And lastly, I think the my understanding is that this bill now belongs to us, NCOP. It was referred to us by the chairperson of the NCOP. We have to deal with it and take it back to the House. It's no longer a Home Affairs thing. It's no longer a SAPS thing. It's no longer state law thing. It's no longer it belongs to NCOP. With our legal team. What we want is what our legal team should effect. Because we are directing, we are parliamentarians, lawmakers, we are directing what whoever is writing must write what our wishes as South Africa are. I think that understanding must be very clear to say, no. It's not a departmental bill. It's our bill, NCOP. Whatever we talk about, we complain about, the task of those relevant sections must be to say, this is what the lawmakers want. How do I fit it in? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I have not heard how the proposed SAPS amendments of 2.3 and 2.4 will negatively impact on
of the Act or on the functions of the BMA. I don't understand why this has become a contentious issue. My opinion, as it was motivated by the SMP, which is a very efficiency-driven amendments, patriotic even, I cannot see how this will negatively impact. But in law enforcement agencies, we usually get this, where there's turf war. This is my turf, that's your turf. Don't come here. And I hope this is not the case here. So I would like to get a response on that, obviously not from the SAPS. But what I would like to hear from the SAPS, if there's any place else where in South Africa where the SAPS is prevented by law not to fulfill its constitutional obligations, as is envisaged here, that it will be in the border area where there exists some exclusivity for the BMA to the exclusion of the SAPS, as it's now in the bill. Thank you.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Maybe as a point of departure, I need to apologize for arriving late after the meeting has started. I think it was not intentional, but I take the blame for it. Honorable Chairperson, it was not out of disrespect. And I hope that the committee will pardon me for that apology. I think this issue of the BMA and the responsibility of SAPS, and then as well as the new unit of BMA that needs to be established. We had an opportunity also, Chairperson, if my memory still serves me well, on a number of occasions. At some point, we also went to our oversight in Durban, Honorable Karula, where I think in that meeting, we also had an opportunity to do a site visit in the Durban Harbour or something, Honorable Karula. And then at that meeting, I think most of us were very concerned about the responsibility of this unit that needs to be established vis-a-vis the responsibility of SAPS. And I think at that meeting also, we were very clear to say, no, look, this new unit, because the department came, they gave us a presentation number of times. They said even this will be the unit, this will be the new uniform, this will be the new responsibilities. And out of that, we picked up that some of the responsibilities are overlapping between this new unit that needs to be established and those which are actually SAPS constitutional responsibilities. And we of the view as a committee long time ago that it can't be that this new unit is going to actually replace the responsibility or take some of the responsibilities from SAPS. I think we made our point very clear. So what I was hearing earlier on, which actually became a concern to me, was almost like now the portfolio committee have dealt with this bill, so NCOP, you must agree on it. I don't know whether I heard that part very correctly, and it actually disturbed me to a great extent, because I almost felt like, why are we in a meeting here? If the impression we are getting is that the portfolio committee on Home Affairs have dealt with this issue extensively, so why this type of meeting? But I think it's not late, Honorable Chair. We need to agree on the approach, and as a committee, make it very clear. When it goes back to the House, I mean, I've already sensed, and I think I agree with the sentiments of some of my colleagues, that we are not going to agree to replace the responsibility of SAPS. If the Portfolio Committee have done it, they have done it, maybe they have actually considered other things which are not actually at our disposal as a select committee, which we are not going necessarily going to agree with those things. And I think, Chair, we need to make it very clear that there are two houses of Parliament. We went to a number of workshops in this Parliament. We're going to our fifth year already, through the fifth Parliament. And then we keep on making the point that Parliament is made up of two houses. There's NCOP and there's National Assembly. But I don't want to bog the meeting down to those politics of the two houses. safe to say that we have an opportunity as this select committee, and that's our view, and then let's take it from there. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. I'm forced to do this to you, Chair. There are proposed scenarios there by SAPS, which are three. There is A, B, and C. I just have a clarity-seeking question on them. Scenario A and B, do they not contradict the constitutional responsibility of the SAPS? That is my first question. Second question is, it looks like scenario C, which is recommended by SAPS, is the one that covers those issues of 4.4.2, but at the same time, does it also not contradict now the issue of single management, whatever, because it says SAPS will remain SAPS? Can I get clarity on those two issues, Chair? And what is the take of everybody else, the other relevant stakeholders, in respect of that proposed, that recommended scenario, which is recommended by SAPS? What are the other stakeholders saying on it? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, for your inputs and questions, let me also raise my own inputs and question. I just want to, again, start off by saying it's not about winning a debate or an argument. It's about coming up with the right product that we'll all own at the end of the day. I think that is the issue here. We invited these specific departments because in our minds we know that even if you can have this single unit, there is something that you cannot take away from them. You cannot fuse SAPS into the BMA. That cannot happen. I don't know whether my listening is different from the listening of the state law advisor, because she's saying there is no specific mention of the specific role of SAPS in the border management. Where I am sitting, you will not have that, because if that is your understanding, it means that if there is a crime in human settlement, they must not go there, because human settlement, they can form their own unit to deal with crime in human settlement. I'm using an example. Same thing with health, because you are saying classical police function can be done by any agency. That's what you are saying. That's my understanding. Meaning that if we will follow your thinking, it means that SAPS at the end of the day could be rendered irrelevant because everyone can do it. What I heard from them, they are saying crime is crime. Our role is to make sure that our citizens are safe and crime is prevented. That is what I heard from the person who was presenting. So that function cuts across all sectors. It doesn't matter where. Crime can be done by border management agency. So if we are saying exclusively, what happens then? What happens? Does it mean that SAPS should not go in there because, you know, their law enforcement can do it? So what I am hearing from them, you go to any sector, they have a role. That's why you have police stations everywhere, everywhere. Cities have got their city police, some of the cities, but SAPS still has a role to play there. They have a role to play there. All what you are saying, why duplicate functions? Because already in your port of entry, SAPS is there. Unless convinced otherwise, if you say they don't have capacity, is it something that they cannot be built in SAPS? If I heard correctly, you said all the units or the stations that are run by SAPS now will be operated by the law enforcement, by border management SSC. I was asking myself, if I had it wrong, you'll correct me. What will happen with all these police that are there now? We're short of police, I agree, but what they are trained to do, that specific job, what will happen to them now? What will happen to them? Why create a unit? If there's corruption, let's deal with corruption in SAPS. instead of creating another unit and think it will be holy. That's one issue. I still want to be clarified why we cannot use that. The other thing that you said from the state law advisor said you could not include the airstrips, airfields, slipways, and small harbors and whatever because it's for defense. But it does appear in here. That is the question from SAPS, that why don't you just put the role of SAPS in the, that SAPS will still perform their duty from the constitutional mandate, not border, what they're supposed to do, even in the border management agency areas. You said you could not put that. But we were told as the committee that we are dealing with border, all borders in South Africa. It doesn't matter who is responsible for. For me, if we leave out the airstrips, airfields and everything else, it means that we are saying people who are committing crime in South Africa, only those who are on the land where Home Affairs is operating. Those airstrips, it means there's no crime. Those harbors, informal crossing, those informal crossing, general, you're saying it's families, that we know, but it's no more families who are crossing there. I'm from Mpumalanga, remember I said. Lapembuzini, that is where cars are crossing. That is where, I'm not specific to Palestinians, but every day you have kumbis taking people there, bringing them in the country. They must, you can't leave them unmanaged. If they're not in this PMA, it means that we don't know what we're doing here. And if the airstrips and the airfield and all this are not in the bill, it means that we're saying those who have, the rich people don't commit crime. Only the poor who are using the land. That is why we invited defense to know what are they going to do there to make sure that we're not taking it away from them, but they must tell us because we're dealing with borders of the country. What are they going to do? The presenter said the small harbors now, police are responsible to do that. Did you say that? Yeah. In fact, if police really did not have a mandate, why were they put there? Are they not doing a good job? Because currently, all what we're talking about now, the police are there. They are everywhere. The question could be, how do we make sure that they are effective? And the other question I will have from my side is, what is the international standards? That is why we're saying we are coming with a new act which we never had before, but we have not done the international exchanges to check what is happening in other countries. Most countries are not having a one unit entity. They have different departments, but they are coordinated. Except how many, 2-3 countries from what we got from our own research. That is Canada, Mkululu remind me, Canada, and what is about 3 countries who are having this one single border management entity. Most of them, departments are they operate as they are, but they are coordinated, still do their work. I don't know why we did not go through that route to check what is the international standard. The agreement between the DG and the National Commissioner, as long as what they agreed upon is not captured here, could not be enforceable because it's not part of this. You cannot always, when you have to act, to say, no, let's go back to the agreement between the DG and the National Commissioner. If they agree that police functions will not be affected, let it be factored here in this document so that we know that we have one single document that we are working with. I want to check the immigration officers. When they do they have their own cells, when they arrest people, Do they go to their own cells until when they go to court and finalize the case, and police have no role in that matter? If I could be clarified on that one. I think the issue of who will lead the department, I think that one was addressed, that Home Affairs will lead this border management agency. I don't know why it will have to come back to Parliament to decide again later. I had thought that it has been decided that Home Affairs will lead, which I don't have a problem with, but what is important that each role player must perform what they're supposed to be performing. Yeah, those are the questions from my side. You kept on referring to the interim constitution. Interim constitution. I'm not sure, you know, Mose, I'm just a lay person from Mpumalanga. Just educate me. Interim constitution versus the constitution. If I could be educated on that one. Yeah, can I allow for responses? I will first recognize the Deputy Minister, then the others will follow.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I must just apologize. I'm sitting here holding this side of my face, not out of disrespect, but because I have a terrible ear infection. And when somebody speaks on this side, it really hurts. So when I sit like this, please don't. let me just say to members that you would be surprised that actually Home Affairs doesn't have an issue with what you are saying. The problem, I think, is a confusion that has unnecessarily been brought here. I must just say to you, I'm a big supporter of the police. I would be the first to argue against any legislation that detracts from their mandate, that minimizes their presence, etc. So when it comes to crime, I think that that is the point of departure that I think we all have in common. What has been brought in issue is 4.2 of the bill, and I will go through that just now. But let me just take you back to the presentations we made to the NCOP around the single command and control structure of the BMA. What do we have currently? We have various departments, including Home Affairs, Defense, Police, Health, Agriculture, SARS, all these people playing a role at the ports of entry. Essentially, the idea is that they must coordinate their functions. A gentleman's agreement, as you were, or a gentle lady's agreement. So that when you have, for example, an operation, you're hoping that all of these departments would prioritize an operation of that nature. Let's say it's around hijacked cars that are going across our borders, right? So you need the cooperation of a range of players in this regard. But very often you find that actually one or two of them would have other priorities. And so those operations are not efficient, they're not optimal because of a lack of everybody being on the same page. So this is what the single command and control model was hoping to address. So whether you are doing stamping passports function, or whether you're doing health checks of animals, veterinary checks that normally agriculture does, whether you're scanning for Ebola, whatever the issue is, all of that has to be synergized and coordinated in a manner that optimizes your resources, that optimizes border control, that optimizes the security of sovereignty of the country. Now, that is the point of departure that we have. And if we agree that that is the model that you want, then you have to say something of that nature in the legislation. You have to start talking about a single command and control structure. But you don't do it in a manner that detracts from, as you were saying, chairperson, classical policing. You don't want to, for example, deal with crime intelligence. You don't want to deal with all of those issues. What you're wanting to deal with is border management, right? And you're wanting to deal with it within a particular zone, a particular area of jurisdiction. So let us go back to the bill and read what 4.2 says. It says the border law enforcement functions, border law enforcement functions, not policing, not fighting crime. Border law enforcement functions. And if that is defined, so we'll get to the definition now. Within the border law enforcement area, again, a specified area that is defined in the legislation, and ports of entry must be performed exclusively by the officers of the authority. So let's go to what is defined as border law enforcement functions. And if you go to the definition section, you will see there that, border law enforcement functions means the functions conferred on the authority by law and in terms of this act. And this act then in clause 5 says the functions of the authority are two. Number one, facilitate and manage the legitimate movement within the border law enforcement area and ports of entry. So this is the thing that Home Affairs normally does, where we look at somebody's passport, where we look at the authenticity of this document, whether there is a visa, whether there isn't a visa, and we stamp and we facilitate. Included in this, the movement of goods within the border area and the ports of entry. Likewise, you have to make sure that whatever customs needs to be paid has been paid. The necessary documents accompany cargo and big goods. And, of course, when ordinary people come with their big parcels, you want to scan that to ensure that there's no illicit goods hidden inside of packages and so on. So that kind of thing. Of course, you also have livestock in that and so on, so the health checks with regard to veterinary services are also incorporated. The next function is facilitate the collection of revenue within the border law enforcement area and ports of entry. So this happens when, for example, you have a cargo load of goods coming into the country and you know that it's taxed. Now, normally what happens is that the tax is paid before it gets to the port of entry, so we get a receipt that has been issued by SARS. We're not talking about physical money anymore. We get the receipt, and we then check that you're paying the amount of tax that is concomitant with the goods that you've brought in. So let's say you're bringing in a ton of milk, and we know that the amount that you're supposed to be paying is $500,000 or whatever to customs, you would have a receipt that you've already paid to customs. But if we see that actually you've got more milk, then that difference gets paid at the port of entry. Okay? So usually most of the money gets paid up front. So that's the kind of facilitation function that is being talked about there. We're not talking policing functions here. I trust that everybody is noted. Finally, it says, and cooperate and coordinate its border law enforcement functions with other organs of state, border communities, and any other persons. Now, here is where that coordination and cooperation would come in. So if, for example, we notice as the border management agency that there's a lot of drugs coming in to a particular port of entry, well, that's where your commissioner would necessarily have to call in the police to say, look here, we think that there are things happening here, and that's where your coordination and so on takes place. What it doesn't say is that if the police, for example, are following a suspect, and that suspect runs into the border management area, which is that 10-kilometer thing, that the police have to stop. No, that's not a border facilitation matter. It's not a border function. You with me? So the police will have that concurrent power alongside the border management agency in that area. Nothing in this bill excludes that. The only thing that is the exclusive jurisdiction, shall I say, or exclusive function of the BMA is the facilitation. These four things, facilitate and manage the legitimate movement of people and goods. Facilitate the collection of revenue if that is necessary within the context of what I've illustrated. And then, of course, call in other organs of state when there is something extraordinary that requires that. So that kind of cooperation. But nothing in this legislation stops the police from performing classical functions, including if the police gets information that a Home Affairs official at the border is corrupt, is facilitating drugs into the country and getting kickbacks, for example, or trafficking people into the country. The police have a duty to perform their function even in that area. Why? Because that is classical policing. That is classical policing. It's not what is defined as border law enforcement functions. So I think we need to understand that limitation of what functions are now going to be the exclusive function. Having said that, of course, Chair, remember that the other thing that is going to be done is that many of the existing offices of the SAPS, of health, of agriculture, SARS, all those people, will be co-opted into the BMA. So we've already got trained people who are busy doing things like search and seizure and so on when that arises. So the functions that they are currently performing will be assumed within the BMA. So you will have that duality as well. So that oversight that you are worried about, that you can't have the BMA acting by itself and nobody else can touch them, and if there's corruption, you know, they won't be able to be exposed because now suddenly the legislation protects them. No, that's not the case. Policing in the normal way will continue in the border management area. The only thing that is exclusively BMA is what is defined in Section 5, which is facilitating. Having said that, finally, Chair, remember, the facilitation of movement includes various things. Firstly, obviously, the papers have to be in order, and we, for example, would check the authenticity of passports, we check the authenticity of visas, et cetera, et cetera. You'd also, for example, scan people for diseases, you'll ensure they had their vaccinations, all of those things. And remembering, of course, we're talking about goods. Fingerprints. We check, for example, whether, in fact, this person is a wanted person on Interpol databases, all of those things. These are not what we would call classical policing functions, right? And that's essentially what the bill is conferring on the BMA, for the purposes of the single command and control structure. And simply because we have said to you that this so-called gentleman's agreement between different departments operating in silos in the way that they are is just not working. It's not working for our country. And we can see the results of that. Everywhere you go, you'll see, firstly, a huge number of illegal persons residing, staying, making South Africa their home. Secondly, a huge amount of illicit goods coming into the country. Not to mention the kind of trafficking issues that members are also concerned about. So it was that informed this notion of a single agency to be responsible, not just for the ports of entry, as is currently the case. And you yourselves would have pointed out to us that when you go on your oversight visits to ports of entry, that you see everybody at the port of entry, but 2 kilometers away, people are crossing the borderline because nobody is then taking responsibility, neither the police, nor Home Affairs, nor Defense, nor anybody is taking responsibility for that space. And this is really what the mandate of the BMA is. And that's why that area, the border management area, is being defined in this legislation to include both ports of entry as well as the borderline within a 10-kilometer space. So you could actually draw a line on the map of the borderline, both on the land but also on the coast, as it were. But you make a very, very good point around small boat harbors, and small little jetties, airstrips, all of those things. Those are huge vulnerabilities. But we start somewhere, and we have to then start building our capacity to ensure that all of those are covered eventually. Doesn't have to be with the Border Management Agency, but certainly one or two entities of the state have to be in charge of each of those vulnerable spaces.
Okay, I'm tempted not to give other people because you seem to have covered most of the things, but my issue is that you can't be there to clarify to everyone what you are saying to us now. They exclusively, why do you put use that word exclusively? Currently, are these functions done by other people? Because once you put exclusively, it means that you're preventing something that is currently happening. You don't want to see it happening in the future. And the other concern by SAPS is that what you said they will still have to do, just put it here. That's all what they're saying, like you did with SAPS. Let's have it here so that you don't have an explanation from you when a question rises, like we're raising questions, to say, why don't we have it? That police will still do their classical policing function. What was confusing members was that, as the state law advisors were saying, that classical police functions can be done by anyone. You see, that was really, really confusing. They did not talk about that, but from the members' side, that's what we had. We said, okay, anyone can come up with their law enforcement, human settlement can do the same, health can do the same, because anyone can do it. All what we are saying, this issue that police will still do their work as enshrined in the Constitution, let's put it here so that there is no confusion, there is no need for explanation. And also, I'm not sure why this exclusively, because you can say the functions of the Border Management Agency, you put them as you have them. Once you say exclusively, it raises some eyebrows. Honorable Zwane, you want to say something?
No, thank you, Chair. I've always thought, Chairperson, that SAPS is categorized as law enforcement. I did not understand that they are actually excluded from law enforcement. I'm hearing it for the first time that they are not part and parcel of the law enforcement agencies in South Africa. Nonetheless, Chairperson, I still want to submit that after all explanations have been given, what harm does it make to accept this insertion that they are proposing? Yes, I've listened to everything by implication, it is taken care of, but what harm does it make to accept the proposal and make this insertion in this legislation that you are processing? Because you can only debate if there is harm that is making, but if there is no harm, why do we insist on saying that it must not be inserted in the formation of the legislation itself?
Can I give parliamentary advisors, law advisors, what harm does it make, the insertion by that is proposed by SAPS?
Chairperson, you're referring to the insertion regarding clause 4.2. From a legal perspective, there would not be any harm from our side in that sense, that it's just clarifying what has been articulated. I don't see any problem from Parliament's side, from the committee side, as to why that should not be included, unless someone provides a decisive argument against it. But I don't see any harm in including it.
This is Section 75. This is what we want to recommend to the to NA as a new recommendation from our side. Okay. Any other thing that we might be leaving out? But remember, we're really out of time. It's not the final date. We're still going to have debate, the inputs from other people, from the public participation. We can still come back to this debate. But I'm very much happy by the inputs from the Deputy Minister. It clarifies a number of things. Okay, Finance, National Treasury, are they here? Are they here? I'm not getting an indication. They're outside. You are here. He's not here. Okay, Defense. Can we hear your story? Are they here? You want to go? That one is very important. Okay. No, we are very sensitive. We don't want people to prioritize other committees over us, because we are a committee on our own. Oh. I like that. Okay. When are they going to come into the Okay, honourable members, we have a situation with the defence. There was a communication breakdown. The Pretoria office instructed the local office to come and attend the meeting just to listen. They don't have a presentation. Can members guide me while Finance is organizing, National Treasury, they're organizing themselves. Can we invite them, because it's important, some of the things are done by them. There's no way that we can finalize this thing before we know what defense is doing with the airstrips and airfield and slipways. I don't even know what slipway. What is a slipway? DM. What is a slipway? We still need that because we want to deal with everything, even though it's not under Home Affairs now, but we want to know how are those going managed. Crime is not only happening in land. We want to know what is happening there. Can we agree that when we debate the inputs from the public, we also invite them just to do a short presentation on that? Okay. National Treasury, I don't know, can we excuse the police? Are we done with them? You are welcome to be with us if you... We will be very much happy to... At least you make us to look good with the uniform and and safe.
Thanks, Chairperson. We'll welcome to be excused.
Thank you very much. We hope
that some of our members will sit in.
Okay. No, thank you so much.
Program.
National Treasury, are we getting a presentation? Sam, he did come to me. He said the guy is somewhere here. Where is? But we can't wait. You know, members at one, they are leaving the court commitments. National Treasury, we're waiting for you. Members are leaving at one.
Schedule for 10 to 1.
We all want you to go.
I just want my day off. That's
really
so nice. Just don't know so that I can take my day off.
Because now I see they can't talk all the PCs in the morning tomorrow. So.
Because of a meeting,
Thank you, Chair. And apologies, I was in the Standing Committee on Finance, and the two issues were clashing. Chair, my name is Ismail Momoniat. I'm the DDG responsible for tax and financial sector policy, and we have a team here. Our colleague, one colleague from the Treasury, and three from SARS. Do you want to just say who you are, so? Mpo, can you identify yourself?
Mpo, Timothy Mura, Treasury.
William, Chief of Staff.
Mark and Brooks.
Okay. Chair, I don't know if you have copies of our presentation and the note.
Not the note yet.
Okay, you can hand out the note. I think, Chair, before I start, you'll see that...
I don't know how much time you have. We're almost at the end of our time. Members have got commitments after one.
Okay, no, I'll go through this very fast.
Okay.
We are only asking for one very small change, which is to basically amend Clause 4 and to exclude SARS from the provisions of this bill. So the actual request is straightforward. We put it forward to the Portfolio Committee on Home Affairs. We were very unhappy with the process with the Portfolio Committee of Home Affairs. Firstly, they didn't allow SARS to make any input. Nobody went into the content, and nobody was looking at the fact that it was affecting 30% of our revenue, over 300 billion rands. Because this law, if it is in the form it is, will generate huge uncertainty at SARS. It will mean people need to move. There's no agreement on who's going to move, and so on. Having said that, we fully support the objectives of a more coordinated approach and of the BMA, subject to it being done within affordable budget, because at this stage we do not have the budget for what it will actually cost. So just to go down, and I'll go through, but that's the crux of what I'm going to say, and that when the bill was being processed, it's gone against the Davis Tax Committee. There's been no evidence-based study done on the functions of SARS and what this will mean for SARS. It also means that that it will move away from a fundamental reform that was introduced under President Mandela and the Katz Commission on its proposed on its report, which created SARS, where we merge inland revenue with customs and excise. This bill is going to reverse all of that. Okay. So it's something that as Treasury and as SARS, we feel very strongly about, Chair. And we were not happy with the processes. We didn't feel they were collegial, and we felt we were not heard. And in fact, we were only going to be heard if we basically gave up and allowed SARS to be fragmented. So if you look at the... Go back. So, you know, we fully support the objectives as set out in the BMA bill, as outlined in paragraph 1.1 in the original memo on the objects of the bill. We support the need for integrated and coordinated border management that facilitates secure travel and legitimate trade. We understand this objective is critical for the economy and for economic growth. The only question is, how do we achieve this key question? And can we do it without risking or fragmenting the tax system? And this bill will fragment the tax collection system, and it will affect 300 billion rands of revenue, okay? Because the designers don't want to understand that you cannot split the value chain. So I won't go through all these slides here in the interest of science. We understand, and we've been involved through, not as treasury, but yeah, as, you know, our budget people have been involved in this process through GTEC, through technical advice, and so on. And the question for us was how best to ensure better integrated and coordinated approach. We understand borders are critical for dealing with the flow of people and the flow of goods. And we would submit that a lot of the proposals coming forward have not looked at the issue of the flow of goods and the complexities. And in fact, some flows are through cyberspace. They don't go through the physical borders. So, for example, we deal with electronic goods and services, and how do you impose VAT on them, for example. So, you know, but when we've tried to get into the gory detail on the impact on SARS and customs admin, we've not been heard. Even at NADLAC. Okay. So if you look at the bill, you know, as I said, we support the broad objectives. When people say there's a Treasury study, it's not a Treasury study, it was a GTEC study. We still come in as Treasury. GTEC is a technical arm within the Treasury that other departments use. And in fact, their recommendations were actually not adhered to. The socioeconomic impact assessment was largely ignored. The Davis Tax Committee report was ignored. All these have pointed to the fact that you can't fragment the customs admin, but it was ignored. Even when this bill went to Cabinet, the Minister of Finance at the time raised objections, and I know it's been said Cabinet approved this. We would contest that. Okay, not that I was at Cabinet, but we would contest that. Okay. So I think what we're saying today is we're not even getting the part of the Treasury that deals with budgets, because there are still issues there that haven't been sorted out. Today, I'm coming from the tax and revenue perspective, but if you talk to our budget colleagues, and maybe my info is outdated, but even this morning, we don't know what the BMA's budget will be. Will it increase the level of spending significantly? And we are going through tough budgetary times. There's no money, unfortunately. It's really hard. Whenever you have mergers, you know, I'm in the public service for over 20 years. I can tell you, I'll put my salary on the line, that for the same people who are there, the remuneration levels will go up. It will go up because you'll say, maybe someone at customs earn much more than a public service, and everyone will say they're doing the same work, and everyone's salaries will go up. So for not, without even employing one person more, the salary bill will balloon. And I would like to see that that's not the case. I hope I'm wrong. And then there's another heroic assumption that's made, that all entities and departments will give up their budgets, their staff, etc. There's no such agreement with SARS. And to assume that funds are going to be transferred because functions have been transferred is a heroic assumption. And unless you get that in writing from each department, I wouldn't really, so get that in writing from SARS, and then you'll see whether that's really feasible. So we won't focus on all those issues. I think those issues still need to be sorted out. The focus, as I said, is on tax policy, and for us, the Treasury is primarily responsible for tax policy, and SARS does the actual collection. Indeed, the Constitution authorizes that only the Minister of Finance can introduce a customs or excise duty or levy, and it's got to be done through a money bill. It cannot be done by another minister. All of those things are not sorted out in this bill. Move on. So, Chair, when you look at the tax and revenue framework, as I said, you can trace this to the Katz Commission in 1994, which was one of the first commissions appointed by President Mandela just after he became president. Here we created SARS under democratic institution, and now suddenly when we've unified customs and excise and tax, we're now faced with trying to break this up without any evidence-based research. In fact, I would like to see that research. I think it would be reckless to proceed without any proper research having been done and without agreement with the ministers, the commissioner, etc., the DG, who are all involved in this. Move on. So, Chair, in the interest of time, I won't go through all of the issue, but to say that to the extent that we've moved, get to the customs modernization. Okay. That SARS embarked in 2014 on a major customs modernization. We've passed how many X? 4X? 4X. Just say what they are.
Sorry, the Customs Control Act 2014.
There's at the bottom, the last at the bottom there.
And then there's also the, it'll be the Excise Duty Act.
Yes.
That is not included there because it's not related to it.
These require huge system changes. They're not straightforward. That's why it's taking a few years. And the modernization process, Mpo, when did it start? You've been there longer. Yes. So it's a long process. They have this legislation. They're in the process of implementing. And now the entire process gets disrupted. Okay. And I want to get to the value chain. So, Mpo, come on. You must talk. You must pay for your supper here or your lunch. Okay. Or William, because me, I just know this at a policy level. Okay. Can he come in, Chair? So to just quickly, very quickly maybe on the modernization and what SARS is doing, just so that members have a sense.
Chair, before we continue, we took more than 2.5 hours to consider and deliberate on two issues that was brought in by SAPS, which in relation to what has been put forward to us was actually cosmetic. Now it's expected of us in the next 4 minutes and 20 seconds to consider and deliberate on this. It's simply not on. Cannot happen. I've received a document this morning. I couldn't even go through this, and it's page by page, and I don't think any one of us here on this side has got any idea which you want, what you want to convey to us, except that it's very important. I would strongly request that we should consider coming back on in a special session to interrogate what has been put forward by, to us here, in a more relaxed and in a way that we can really interrogate this and hear arguments and counter-arguments, also get inputs of the state lawyer advisor. Many of the things that have been put forward here makes a lot of sense to me, but obviously I haven't heard the other side.
In fact, they've been requesting this presentation for quite a while. Mm. They are the one people who requested, besides us taking a decision. And I do want to say, it's very important. Let me start off by saying, this bill is very important for the country to control our borders. We really want to do that. And we need to be coordinated. At the same time, I'm not saying we need money to implement it. Budget is required. And we all know that, because you tell us we don't know the your bank statements, you keep on telling us that we're under serious financial constraint as a country. That is why with the earlier debate we were saying, can't you use what we have now, the police, other than creating a new entity, law enforcement agency, yet you have police who are already doing it. But at the same time, if we say we're not going to do it because we don't have money, we'll never do it. But it's very important to hear from you. It doesn't have to pass a bill and you don't implement it because of finances. Members, I'm just adding to what Honorable Harting was saying. Honorable members, it's not a presentation that you can just make it a by-the-way presentation. It's an important one because it has to do with the implementation of the bill at the end of this. Honorable Zane.
Thank you, Chairperson. I really do think that we do need time to read through the submissions by the Department of National Treasury Finance and be able to engage in a session where we are able, as a select committee, to take informed decisions. But what Treasury is saying is a bit frightening, Chairperson, because it gives an idea that a lot of work still has to be done for us to be able to reach finality. It is very important to protect our borders. But I think doing it so rushingly that we are going to pass a bill and arrive at an act that is not implementable is again going to be egg on our face. We need to look into this very, very seriously. Because one question arises, is there a budget for this? What were the views of the FFC in this regard? What were the discussions of the different government departments that are concerned with regard to the development of this? We really do need time, Chairperson, to revert back.
Thanks, Chair. I'm going to be brief. Can we allow Treasury to finish the presentation and then when they have finished, we can then talk about the way forward? Because they are already midway, so...
Yeah. I think Honorable Hutton's intervention was helpful because he was calling another person to do a presentation. His intervention was that if we allow him to finish, then what? Because we're not going to have time to interact with this presentation. And it's very important. We just got it this morning. I think if members agree with me, I'm tempted to say because members, I don't want it to be left with one or two members because members have got commitments. I've got apologies already. I'm tempted to say, before you come to us, because some of the issues he is saying, I'm just wondering if you are part of this process. You were not involved, you were not helped with this. My question is, these discussions you're raising don't belong here. They're supposed to be sorted out in the executive before you come here. When you come here, you are all clear to say, okay, us as National Treasury, yes, we're part of the process, we agreed on this, but these are the challenges. But you are saying this was not considered, this was not... So I'm asking myself, how did it come here? How did it arrive to us here? I'm suggesting that next week Tuesday, if it's not SONA, and I will throw that. No, but it's an official SONA will come anyway. I don't know. If it is not next week, Tuesday, on the 20th, can we call again defense to come back and the law advisors, please make opinions on this one. And also, you want to say something? Brief.
Sorry, if I may ask just about the SARS opinion, I heard the members say that we must prepare an opinion. If the committee can give me instructions as to the legal issues that must be addressed, I will do so. But it would seem that the SARS presentation is centered much about policy issues and issues between the executives which I cannot necessarily address in a legal opinion. So as discussed with you, Chair, I will amend the other opinion that I dealt with earlier because, as I explained, it wasn't really prepared for this meeting.
Mm.
I will amend that in line with the SAP's submission.
Okay.
But as far as the SARS presentation is concerned, I don't see that there are legal issues for me really to discuss in an opinion. So if the committee feels that I've been instructed
say something. All what you are saying, say something, you can't be quiet. Say, what you are saying now, put it in writing. Because tomorrow we don't want to say we did not get an advice from you. Mm-hmm. Say something together with our parliamentary, I hope you are talking, legal team. Yeah, I really want to.
I want to help you.
I'm not sure whether I need help, but okay. Let me allow you.
No, I think from the Treasury, maybe just to clarify, this is a Treasury presentation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think we would support that there's a longer period. We don't have any issue with that. Obviously, we'd welcome it. I think you've asked some hard questions. We can perhaps answer it there, but that will show you just the nitty-gritty of how you break the value chain, etc. Chair, all we're asking today, and I just want to get maybe so that members can think about it, we can come back to it, is that we are asking for this clause. We had put this to the portfolio committee. There was long engagement. It's really to remove the uncertainty for SARS. And we're saying to the extent that there are agreements, let them be done jointly between the ministers involved, the DG and the commissioners, the GDs and the commissioners, etc. Because it gets practical. Who do you move where? And to the extent that the laws are needed to change, in the tax administration, the SARS Act or the Tax Administration Act, we amend them every year. And it's very quick for us to put these in once there's agreement. All we're saying is if you don't have this, you create uncertainty for SARS. And yeah, that's all that we are asking.
We cannot comment on it. What we are saying to you, we are saying the time, the reasoning behind your asking, we don't have time. We want you to have enough time.
Mm-hmm.
Go through it. We can't just say yes before we understand what you are saying. We are saying we will have a document ourselves because I just got it now. We will have time to go through the document. By the time you come back and explain it, this will have gone through the document.
Mm-hmm.
The department will have gone through the document. And the issue of referring to Home Affairs, we are another committee. We are a select committee on social services under the NCOP, another House of Parliament. Whatever they discuss there, for the mere fact that it is referred to us, there is a reason for that. We look at it as NCOP. So we make our inputs. So what we are saying, we'll have time to look at it. We cannot underestimate it. So all what we are saying, if you have time amongst yourself, before we come here, talk about it. Before next week, Tuesday. Talk about it amongst yourself and see how far you can go. Then come back. But we'll then look at it on Tuesday. And then take it from there. Honorable
Kaul. I'm clarified, but I would like to know next week, Tuesday, what was the position of the Minister of Home Affairs then when these issues were presented in the executive, and what is the position of the current Minister of Finance?
Okay, I know the position of the former Minister of Home Affairs. I don't know the position of the Minister of Finance. That's why I was insisting that he must come and present it himself, because I know the previous position. Okay, all members, I think, can we leave it at that? They will talk among themselves whether if there are issues that they have, they can resolve on their own before they come to us. We'll do that. With that, the meeting, all members, is there anything else? Stand adjourned. We'll meet next week on Tuesday.